Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 232, recorded on November 21st, 2014. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and I think that's the second time I goofed on the intro. 2 weeks
in a row. Are you starting over?
No, I'm not starting over.
Oh.
That's Adam Christensen from the MacCast. He was a giant butt for cutting in.
Oh, I was cutting in because I was hoping you were starting over because I didn't start the backup recording, but I am now.
Okay. Well, I think we have this first portion of the show, at least on
my computer.
And this
is how the sausage is made, people.
It's delicious sausage. Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how are you doing?
I think I'm probably doing better than you because I haven't screwed up the intro yet.
Okay. Well, I'm doing quite well.
I'm on my backup computer.
So am I.
Wow.
Yeah. I think both our computers are in the shop, right? Or well, mine's in the shop. You're just getting a new hard drive.
Yeah, the hard drive in my main MacBook Pro died.
But you had you followed rule number 3, right? Which is have a backup.
Yes.
I think that's rule number 3. I can't remember which I made it, if it was rule number 2 or rule number 3, but it's pretty high up there on the list
really
of life rules.
Bugging me that Skype can't redraw properly.
I don't know. You're on a MacBook Air right now, right?
Yeah.
On your booted off a hard drive.
Booted off my... So I had to completely reconfigure my... So my MacBook Pro, let's back up a little bit. My 15-inch MacBook Pro has the dreaded, because it's an early 2011 model, it has the dreaded logic board GPU problem.
Oh,
where
yeah.
Over time, the GPU heats up and the solder points fail and then it fritzes out.
Uh-huh.
And so they replaced the logic board back in May, and it broke again this month.
Is this a, by fritz out, does it, what is the symptom, that it just goes nuts?
You start getting little audio glitches, because what happens is it weakens and cracks.
Audio?
And, video, sorry.
Oh.
Little video, like artifacting will start showing up.
Okay.
And then eventually it fails to the point where it just completely breaks, and then the video is totally gone if you let it go long enough.
But, interesting.
You know, basically the whole what happened most recently, the whole machine locked up, and then I got all these little artifacty blocks that started drawing in on the screen while it pinwheeled to death.
Fun.
Yeah. So really fun stuff. But so I took it into the Genius Bar, and I had totally forgotten. And he throws it up on his little diagnostics tool, lets it run. I'm sitting there, and he turns to me. He's like, "Is there something wrong with your optical drive?" I'm like, yeah, there isn't one. Because I had done a data doubler with the SSD, you know?
Oh, I get it. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
I'm like, is there something wrong? It's not reading as a DVD drive.
It just came up.
That would make sense.
Oh, it just comes up as failed.
Test the optical drive and it failed.
Yeah.
And anyway, so that was interesting. But basically, I had to reconfigure my machine back down to its original.
Like, before you could send
it in. My OWC RAM out. Yeah. I had to put the optical drive back in, put the hard drive back in the regular slot. Consequently, I was able to pull my SSD, so I'm just, I put that in an enclosure and I'm running off that. So
that makes me want to take my new computer apart. I have that problem. I like to look inside at the guts of things that are expensive.
Yeah,
I don't mind tearing apart my computers. It just annoys me when I have to tear them apart because the hard drive died.
Yeah, that is a bit annoying. But you had a backup, so all is well.
Yes.
What I'm going to really be curious about is if they say anything about the fact that this second time getting in, the screws on the Bluetooth module, you have to like undo that module and kind of move it out of the way to get at the optical drive. And the screws on that are really like delicate. And I stripped them both.
Oh, they have tools for that. They'll give
I know,
you
but
screws.
I'm wondering if they'll even say like, hey, you were in here messing around, or if they'll just,
I don't think they'll care. We'll see. Okay, but we should talk about iOS stuff.
As long as they don't find like a sandwich inside.
I would not store your sandwiches in there. Okay, so I was going to shift it to the topic of the show, but that reminded me of me watching the documentary on Spaceship One, Burt Rutan's spaceship thingy.
Yeah.
But, of course, the Spaceship 2 had an incident recently. And so I was watching this doc, and they were having a competition for the different companies that would make engines for it. And one of the companies, they decided to put hot dogs and hot dog buns and stuff on the fence next to the exhaust. And Burt Rutan was very, very solemnly saying, well, you know, NASA's never really provided any data on whether or not a hot dog can be cooked by the exhaust plume of a rocket engine. So we're going to perform that test today.
I know I've said it before, but I'll say it again. You know, his son is in my Mac user group.
Yeah, I know. And we're going to have to make something happen. Check it out. Check out his operation down there. Okay, so anyway, iOS stuff. iOS 8.1.1 was released with bug fixes, supposedly. I think they've fixed some bugs. Have they fixed the Wi-Fi bug, though? Have they fixed the bug that you have been hoping for them to fix? Yes, no?
Oh, go ahead, Adam.
Who were you asking?
I was asking both of you. I wasn't expecting you both to answer at the same time, though. But Adam, you go first.
Oh, well, thank you. I will just say my iPhone 6 Plus is not, I'm not seeing springboard crashes anymore. So I don't know if the update did it or what. And I've also not noticed that it was locking up. Like, I've had some situations where I'd wake the phone prior to this update and it would just go unresponsive. Like, it wouldn't swipe. It wouldn't do anything for like 5-10 seconds, and then suddenly just, you know, start working again. So that seems to have stopped for me.
And I haven't had any springboard crashes since installing the update. And that's on my iPhone 6. And I was getting them.
I was not. And I'm running an iPhone 6. The first most irritating problem that I'm not sure I have. I don't know if it's fixed or not, but the Wi-Fi will, it seems to be the same issue that people are reporting on their Macs, where at some point randomly data will just stop working over Wi-Fi and you have to toggle the Wi-Fi off and then back on, and then it just the bits continue to flow as if something was like clogging the tube.
Yep. I've had that on my iPad.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I don't know if that's been fixed, because it's such a random occurrence.
Yeah, however, it doesn't happen too frequently, but when it does, it's really annoying.
Yeah, but the other thing that is super annoying and is still not been fixed is the lock screen pulling up Control Center.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Why can't they just make it so it works?
So you have that problem too. Yeah. I was going to bring that one up.
Yeah, sometimes it works. Sometimes it's just like, nope, that's not a thing you can do.
The workaround I found is if you swipe to the unlock screen.
Oh yeah, to type your password.
Rejigger it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what I working. Yeah. Oh, back and forth. You mean like over and then back, and then you can.
Yeah. Yeah. Then it'll start working again.
Ugh, so annoying.
It's most annoying when you're trying to get to the flashlight.
Yeah.
You're like, God.
Yeah, that is kind of annoying.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So hopefully they'll fix that. And yeah, but what they have fixed, to some extent, is performance on the iPhone 4S. I was going to say the 4, but I guess it's the 4S.
Yeah, it's the 4S and the iPad 2.
Yeah, so they've made it a little peppier.
I guess. I don't know. I don't have one of those units, so.
Yeah, so Ars Technica did some science.
Mm-hmm. What do they say?
They say it's faster.
They were blinded.
Nice one, Jeff.
Thank you.
It's a little bit faster, not all the way back to 7.1.2 fastness, but better. It's an improvement. It's a quantifiable improvement that will probably be noticeable.
And Michael's clearly not a Thomas Dolby fan.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Get off my lawn, Michael.
God. So yeah, there's that. But does 8 run on an iPhone 4?
No.
No.
No. Okay. We're positive, because we got yelled at last time we
Yes.
Okay. All right.
We are positive.
Okay. It shouldn't be run on an on an iPhone 4. If you try to, you're just a masochist.
It won't run on an iPad 1 either.
Okay. Yeah, don't do that. iOS 8.2 beta and WatchKit have been released by Apple. And boy, it's not as exciting as I thought it would be. Because I was totally expecting a reasonable simulator for the Apple Watch. And if you haven't downloaded it,
that's not what you get at all.
It's not what you get at all. Just don't bother. If you're not a developer, don't bother. It's not going to really do anything for you. Basically, if you make an app, you have to make an entire project and an app that would interface with the Apple Watch and program it with either glances or interactive notifications or your actual app. And that is the only thing that will run. You're not going to see anything else that would be included in the Apple Watch in that simulator. So, but we have gotten...
You wanted to see some of the built-in apps in the simulator?
Yeah. So, like, in the way that we can see some of the basic stuff on the iPhone in the iPhone simulator. I was expecting that.
Maybe Apple doesn't want you to see that stuff yet.
Not yet. I'm guessing that at some point they'll have that. Probably not until the actual watch comes out. But we did get...
We're pretty close to the actual launch release.
Yeah. We did get to figure out, based on the simulator, what the true resolution of the watch will be. So it's 312 by 390 for the 42 and 272 by 340 for the 38 millimeter. And I guess is that the actual resolution or the like retina resolution?
I don't know.
I think, I'm looking at it right now. Someone commented. So it's 312 by 390 points.
Ah, okay.
And 272 by 340 points. So 624 by 780.
Hockenberry put the resolution somewhere around 300 ppi.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. It's in line with what we're expecting for Retina.
Retina has gone now as low as, what is it on the 5K? It's like 2 something.
Yeah, it's like 270.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're not putting the thing right up to your face.
Just saying.
Yeah. Not that I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. The problem with trying to calculate the PPI on with an Apple Watch is that you don't have the dimensions. You don't know the dimensions of the screen because the watch is 42 or 38 millimeters, right? So that's the actual size of the casing, not the actual size of the display.
And I don't think the display goes edge to edge on the black material either.
Right.
It does not.
Yeah. Which is kind of a bummer, but hey, what can you do?
So that's why it's hard to know exactly what the the PPI resolution is.
Do you think they'll slim down the casing at all before it is released, or do you think they're kind of stuck at...
I think that'll be version 2.
Okay, yeah. Because it is a little chunky looking.
It's going to be chunky. I think there's going to be no way around it.
Yeah.
Chunky watches are in, I've noticed.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Beats is going to be included in iOS next year.
Ugh.
Oh, yay.
Are they going to make it free?
No, I don't think they will. That's initially what I thought that, so this is from the Financial Times. I thought that's what they were implying by bundled with iOS, but no, I believe they're just going to throw the app.
iTunes Radio is bundled with iOS in a manner of speaking.
Yeah.
But it's free.
It's ad-supported, so you can actually utilize it.
You can't use Beats at all, I don't think, without a subscription, right?
I believe that's correct.
True.
I think they say that they're going to be rebranding it.
It will just end up in Siberia with stocks and everybody else.
Is that what you call that folder? I'm going to change
that last screen on my iPhone.
That's what I'm going to... I'm changing
iPhone
the name
Siberia.
Right. Siberia.
It's where the bad apps go.
Like Steve Jobs.
I think I'm going to rename that folder now.
Me too. I'm doing that right now. From rarely used to Siberia. So We get another one to add to Siberia, I guess is the title of that story. Yeah.
Put it, you know, right next to Tips.
Yeah, Tips and voice memos and stocks and contacts. I love having contacts on my phone because I already have. Why? I don't get it. Can somebody tell me why I need two contacts apps?
I don't know. I put Calendar over there too.
I had that in there for a while, and then now that they've improved Calendar, it's.
I'm a Fantastical user, so
I was too, but
as am I.
Yeah, whatever. We won't get into that. But what else do we have here? Ooh, Corning's Gorilla Glass 4, a nice little demo. I watched this video. You guys may have also watched the video.
I didn't watch that video. I saw it come out.
I thought it was kind of interesting because the half the video was them saying. So we analyzed how people use their phones and their devices and when they drop them and how they drop them and where they drop them. And we came to a startling conclusion. People drop them on rough surfaces like asphalt.
Yes.
Really?
I could have told you that.
Yeah, everybody could have told you that. They're like, we finally cracked it. Why the screens break when they're dropped on certain surfaces like asphalt.
So you get out of your car.
And so they're like, we made our fancy iPhone dropping robot, and we put a piece of sandpaper underneath it that mimics the texture of asphalt. And I'm thinking, why couldn't you just put asphalt there, dummies? You have an iPhone throwing robot.
Because they know that it would not survive asphalt. And it would look really bad in the marketing video.
Yeah, that's the other thing I noticed is every time they tried it, it did not break. They didn't even have an accidental break in there. So
I'm just sitting here shaking my head.
Yeah, but
I'm sure they tried asphalt at first and it kept breaking. And they're like, we can't put this in the marketing video. We'll simulate asphalt with something that's not asphalt.
Yeah, because asphalt's expensive.
Right. Hard to come by.
Yeah.
Don't you need a license for that?
Yeah, I think so.
The point is, though, it's supposed to be twice as strong as the current stuff, right?
Yeah. More better.
But it's still glass, so it will still break.
Still glass, yep. Can't get away from that. We got to get on that transparent aluminum.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to that.
And Adam, I'm not sure if this will matter to you anymore, but for those of you with the 10 gigabyte mobile share plans,
I just upped.
You upped again?
No, I just went to the 15. Is that what you're going to say?
Well, yeah. So you went from the 10 to the 15 and you're paying no difference?
Correct.
Good. So that is what you can do. You too can do that if you have the 10 gigabyte mobile share plan for a limited time. I don't know why they're doing 30th. This limited time nonsense. So if you haven't bumped on AT&T, if you're on AT&T and you haven't bumped your mobile share plan, take a look because you can probably bump it for free, but you only have a limited time to do that.
It's like stupid because that confused me because I was like, oh, does that mean like it's a limited time like offer? Like they're going to bump me back down after the 30th? No, it just means you have to sign up.
Yeah, you have to
for the plan,
go out of your way and change it.
And then you're like grandfathered in. So you have that until you change your plan again.
Don't you love that stuff?
Oh, it's
dealing
awesome.
With carriers is so cool. I was
Well, can I throw one other thing out there too, okay. though? Because I had just up to the 10 and my bill was supposed to be some amount. And then I, of course, get the bill and it's like a totally different amount, like more.
Oh, doesn't that just...
Because they advance themselves the, like, extra money prorated, so you're, like, really paying for the rest of whatever your current month is, plus the next new month plan. So that first bill always ends up being, like, a lot bigger than, you know, the bill in the end. I don't know. I don't understand
that. That is weird. It's weird that they, when I went to do it, the web interface asked me, would you like to prorate it and set it so as though you had this plan since the beginning of your billing period, or do you want to do it right now, or how do you want to do it? And I'm like, why are you asking me this kind of question? But I went for the
Yeah, it's because but they don't let you finish out your current current plan necessarily, right?
Sure. So, yeah.
Like even with mine, when I called them up because I was like, "What's up with my bill? It was supposed to be this amount, and you're charging me this amount." And she's like, "Well, you changed your plan." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, I changed my plan, but like, don't I just
she thinks that's personal
that I'm on finish out the month
reasonable.
That I'm on, and then you start charging me the new amount?" Oh no.
No, that's not how things
work.
It's
prorated.
Here.
So we do a credit back and then a new fee for the remainder of the month on the new plan. And then like,
yeah, what could be easier?
And so like when I did the upgrade, she's like, "Well, I can put you, you have to take advantage of it on the on the 30th, so I can set it up so that it activates on the 30th. But she's like, "You still your bill comes due on the 4th of the month, so you're going to have 4 days prorated." And I'm like, "Jesus, I don't know. Just give me the more data."
It's just stupid.
Remember the days with your first iPhone where Steve Jobs was able to convince AT&T,
right,
that we could just take our phones home and then go through like 5 iTunes questions, and then we would have our service all set up and we didn't have to deal with this nonsense. And then somehow that all went away. He couldn't hold it up.
Nope.
Can't believe it.
It was really nice while it lasted.
It was so, so nice.
Sorry.
Yeah. Apple.
Yeah, so I have to pay $2,000. Sorry. I was doing the calculations on how much I pay per year. Don't do that.
Don't do that. That sounds like sadness. Okay.
For a freaking cell phone.
Good times. So Apple is continuing to crack down on the notification center widgets, such as Neato, which I did not know about, but apparently it is an app that allows you to take notes within the notification center, which sounds stupid. And I support Apple in their telling developers that their apps are stupid for being in the notification center, because that's not the point of it.
We don't want it to turn into Android.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's dumb.
It is dumb.
Widgets have never worked. They don't work on the desktop. I think they're stupid for the phone. With the exception of a few little things.
Weather,
but like, I've even
traffic,
played around
maybe.
With, huh?
Weather, traffic, calendar. Or those aren't even widgets to you, I guess.
I see some value for widgets on the iPhone. Because, there are certain things where you want quick access to that information.
Yeah.
But on my Mac, I have never found any value in widgets.
I find value in the calculator one, but it's a pain in the butt to get to.
Yeah, and see, pain in the butt takes away the value for me.
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, what else are you gonna do?
I just do calculations in Spotlight.
Oh yeah, me too. That's my jam right there. I use widgets wise, in the dashboard on my Mac, I use I have a couple countdown clocks, some weather widgets, and my deliveries.
Do you actually ever look at the weather widget? No.
Yeah. No, I do all the time.
Buried on another screen.
No, it's not. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
I have a shortcut that I press, and I see my dashboard. And I press it again, and it goes away.
I shut off the keyboard shortcuts to get to dashboard.
I do the swipey thing.
No kidding.
On my magic mouse. So it isn't too bad, but still.
The swipey thing. Although, I think it's entertaining that the... you guys wouldn't know this because you don't use it, but the movies widget that shows
still
you...
still exist?
It does. It doesn't work for shit, though. You have to refresh it every time.
Here's what I need in California, a ski report widget.
Yeah.
I always thought that was funny that they added that, but
that
yeah.
I can't delete. I don't think you can. You can't get rid of the default ones, right?
Well, just take it off the screen, dude. Don't worry about it.
No, that's what I'm saying. You can't.
Yes, you can.
Oh, yeah, you can take it off the screen, but it's in the little, when you go to manage your widgets.
Cry me a river, dude.
Oh, I don't care, but...
Just do what I did and disable the keyboard shortcut to go to dashboard and call it good. I never went F12 to slide me over to that screen.
I forgot Flight Tracker.
It annoys the
here.
Crap out of me.
Can you still do web clips from Safari?
I don't know. You could in Mavericks.
In Mavericks, the widget's still here. But, I mean, Safari for a long time had like a thing, right?
And I have done that.
You could activate like the widget mode and it would let you hover over and it would even recognize the DOM, you know, the...
Yeah,
the
you
DOM
can.
And
you can still
find...
do that. File open in dashboard in Safari. You
awesome.
Can still do that. This is a journey of discovery today.
I thought it was a rant fest.
Yeah, whatever.
I know. Tomato, tomato.
So Apple is planning to do something with GT Advanced. Their Mesa, Arizona Sapphire plant, because they feel bad about all the employees getting the short end of the stick, and I guess it's not really known what they're going to do with this facility. I think they're still working to clean it up. GT is still cleaning it up and then packing.
Yeah, they have it to the end of the year.
Yeah, they're packing up the furnaces and all that. I would imagine that
all their broken glass spools.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Where I know I saw the photos of those of the glass. I don't know where it went though. Where was that?
That was Apple in making their case to the bankruptcy people, right? Or to the creditors. Yeah, saying this is why we don't owe you. This is not our fault.
Because you sucked at doing your thing.
Yeah. You promised that you could do this thing, and this is what you delivered. Unusable garbage.
Yeah. I guess just do a Google
Tons
search for GT Advanced Broken, and you'll find it. You'll find some of that sweet, sweet glass.
I mean, they were able to produce some usable stuff, because another thing that's cited in there is they had a pallet of like 5,000 good bulls, but somebody mislabeled them and they almost got sent to recycling instead of being delivered.
Oh boy.
Again, I'm shaking my head.
It's hard. It's hard to make sapphire.
It is. It is. I mean, and no one doubts that. And that's, you know, like I even got sucked in because you remember we were doing all those reports where there were industry analysts from the sapphire industry saying there's no way GT can deliver on what they're promising on. And I kept maintaining, well, Apple would have sort of vetted this and put a, you know, I'm going to side with Apple and have faith in these guys. But lo and behold, those industry folks, you know, who work in that industry, they know what they're talking about, apparently.
Yeah. Whoops. So,
yeah.
Okay. So the question is, do you think they're going to... You think Apple's going to be the ones who purchase all the sapphire furnaces and just continue trying to produce sapphire at this plant?
No.
No?
I think Apple is out of the sapphire business. They're washing their hands and moving on.
They're going to continue to use it for the little bits that they do, and they'll use, you know... I mean, thing is GT was not a supplier. GT manufactured furnaces, and Apple sort of convinced them to run their own plant and furnaces. So they, you know, they bought the building and they said, we're going to buy the furnaces, or you're going to buy the furnaces, but we'll give you the money to, you know, whatever, however it worked out. I guess ultimately that's how it worked out. But supposedly the original deal was Apple was going to buy the furnaces and just let them run them. But that changed at some point. But they didn't have any experience in actually manufacturing, right?
Yeah, I guess they didn't have the expertise.
So it'd be like you have the company that makes commercial equipment, you know, ovens and stovetops and stuff like that, and you go to them and you're like, you know what, I'm gonna open a restaurant in New York, and since you guys make such great ovens, can you come like be my chef in my restaurant? Oh yeah, sure, we could do that.
Well, and see, and that's where the problem came in.
Right,
because
exactly.
GT8T said, oh yeah, we can do that. And they should have said, that's not what we do.
Right. They should have never agreed.
No. Yeah. No, they should not have agreed.
Yeah.
And yet they did. And
yet they did.
And here we are.
Mm-hmm. So here's the last story on my list. So if you guys have anything else you want to bring up, go for it after this. But this one's pretty cool. Square, they're planning to begin accepting Apple Pay in 2015, which means that all those small retailers that use Square or could potentially use Square for point of sale will be able to accept Apple Pay.
Did they say exactly where, which products we're going to take NFC?
I would imagine
NFC support.
It's probably going to be
the Square Register.
The Square Register, yeah,
and not the little.
The little dongle. Well,
they
dongle.
Are making the a version of the dongle for wireless transactions.
I thought they were doing it for chip and pin, right?
Yes, they're doing it for chip and pin. But they haven't said if they're throwing in Apple Pay support into that.
Right. Because that would be cool. I mean, if you're able to use their little reader to do NFC as well.
Oh, yeah, huge. It says here, let me see.
The thing I read
but that upcoming device does
say.
Not support NFC, the chip in sign does not.
Yeah, the new one, but that doesn't preclude them from making a third generation that would.
Yeah.
They haven't officially said that they would. They just said they're going to be supporting Apple Pay, but they didn't announce specifically which of their products will support it. People are assuming it's just the register. I think.
Yeah, it's totally an assumption that nobody knows.
It seems like a reasonable assumption for now, since they're working on the EMV version for the dongle.
Right.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's good news. Of course, and everybody's thinking, oh, well, you know, when everybody accepts Apple Pay, I won't have to bring my my credit cards everywhere. That's not a good decision. And even with like Starbucks the other day, I was clearing out my wallet and I'm like, every time I go to Starbucks, I use my phone. I don't have to have my gold card with me anymore. And sure enough, a couple days later, I go to the grocery store and I think, hey, I want to get a Starbucks. And it's the one that's in the grocery store. And I order my coffee and I show her my phone. She goes, oh yeah, we can't do that here.
Yeah, like, never go to a grocery store Starbucks. They're not real Starbucks. They're just licensing the products.
Yeah, but it's...
Just go to Starbucks.
But the thing is, like, all the Starbucks around are grocery store Starbucks.
You live in a very weird place.
No, I do. And actually, that's kind of a lie. There are Starbucks, like, across the street from the grocery stores that have Starbucks, so...
Oh, well, there you go.
But it was kind of frustrating, and they couldn't. Can't they just type in the number from the screen to make it go? I don't know.
Apparently not.
Apparently not. Nobody cares about my sob story. Any other stories that we want to talk about before we do picks and wrap it up?
No.
There was something
thinking,
you wanted.
I'm trying to remember the name of the coffee house in SLO that you should be going to.
Black Horse?
Nope.
That's what everybody likes here.
It's across from it was across from Slow Brewing. It probably isn't anymore, but
yeah,
I don't started know. With an L. Like, it's not Lucinda's. It's I can't remember.
There was a story you wanted to talk about last week.
Linnaeus. You should be going to Linnaeus.
Oh, I know Linnaeus. Yeah, they're cool. I've not really been there at all, but yeah, they're cool.
You should not be going to Starbucks. You live in a town with a really good local coffee house.
Nine times out of ten, Adam, I drink coffee at home.
There you go.
Now, you said...
Are you one of the penis and larger pump coffee people? I can't remember the name of that thing.
A French
pump
press?
Up your brew. Pump it up.
What's the stupid... I have one on my actually Amazon wish list. I think it's cool, actually.
What the hell are you talking about?
Everybody does the press.
Should
the
I type...
vacuum press thing. What the hell is that thing called?
I'm not typing penis pump coffee into
Google. No,
I think that's exactly what you need to type, Michael. Safe search is off.
Safe
right?
search on, please. Leave it on. I don't know. No, I fill up a paper filter with a lot, like too much coffee grounds, and drink mud.
You do a pour over.
Like a man.
Like the hipsters.
I don't do pour over. I put it in my Mr. Coffee machine.
Oh, okay, cool. Have you seen, did you see the Mr. Coffee that you can control with your iPhone?
Why do I care?
Because you have an iPhone.
I have an iPhone. I still have to take the old coffee out.
Belkin Wiimote.
Unless there's a robot arm that like does the entire process for me. Because that's the
I'm totally with you.
That's the
mount it on
friction.
A Roomba.
Yeah, but mount there, the thing on a Roomba.
It will tell you if the reservoir has water or needs water. You can set up your timers and schedules.
Yeah.
To like automatically turn it on. It will send you a push notification in the evening if you haven't like prepped it for the morning. Those sorts of things.
Well, there's a vaguely useful feature. All the other stuff, no. Anyway.
AeroPress.
The
coffee thing's called an AeroPress.
AeroPress.
So
Michael,
cool
now do a
making coffee with.
Do a Google search. AeroPress penis pump.
No. Okay. So we're going to talk about our picks now.
I'm picking the AeroPress.
Okay. So Adam's pick is the AeroPress.
Can I do an anti-pick?
It is, what, only $26?
Yep.
So why
it's
is
not
it on
the AeroPress? I don't even have one.
Oh, okay, but it's $26 and it's on your Amazon wish list. Why don't you just buy it?
Because someone else might buy it for me. I don't want it that much.
I see.
I'm more fascinated by it than desire it.
Okay, do you prefer it in frustration-free packaging or in the retail packaging? Because both are available, evidently.
I don't really care.
Okay, what's your pick?
There's a lot of other cooler stuff on my Amazon wish list that I do want.
Like that new Aero, the new drone, the new AR drone thing. What is that? The one with like 1080p?
Oh, that new like pro one is...
One that you can put on like friggin' goggles and fly it over Mount Rushmore or whatever.
Yeah, but I have a Phantom already, so I'm set there. I've just got to soup that up with the heads up display and all that stuff.
Is that
I got to mod it out?
You can put on the with the goggles. Is that what you're talking about? You can do goggles.
Yeah,
with that?
You can get the. They're called. What's the name of the company? They're Fat Shark or Fat Wire or something like that. That everybody uses.
It also connects to Oculus Rift, so if you want to just like. Throw down like $1,000 on a quadcopter and goggles. You can do that. It's called the Bebop. That thing is cool. Check that out. I'll put that in the show notes so everybody can check
it
out.
It's not even out yet, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, the FPV system, first person view system that everybody's using with their like DJI Phantom drones and stuff like that is called Fat Shark.
Okay.
So
but this,
I take it that
you want
cheaper.
My real pick?
I thought that was a good pick.
$500 versus $680 for the Phantom 2. Anyway,
it's not $500.
Yeah, it's $500.
No.
Wait. Yeah, for the standalone, and it's $900 if you want
there
the
you
one
go.
With the
if you want the FPV.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really $900. You don't want it without the FPV, do you?
Is that the one where you like hook it up to an iPad and it's got a long range Wi-Fi transmittery thingy?
Yep.
Cool. Yeah, give me that. I want one of those for Christmas.
Cool.
Okay. What's your pick?
Oh, I just forgot. Okay. You made me lose my track.
All
I
right.
had a pick.
Then I'm going to let Jeff go.
Okay, let Jeff go.
Fine. I'll go. Now I'm wondering, since I don't have like AR drones in my wish list, but I have a lot of Lego kits. Is
mm-hmm.
that still cool?
Yeah,
that is very. I have Lego kits in there.
All right, because I think that's actually the majority of my wish list. It's all Lego kits. Anyhow, my pick. It's an app for the Mac that works with your iPhone or iPad. And it's called Walter, and it's spelled Walter. And what it does is it takes just like a crazy long list of media file formats, audio and video, converts them on the fly for your iOS device and uploads them. And it does this all without needing iTunes around at all.
Uploads them to where?
To your iPhone or iPad.
Into the music or video app.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is...
Into the native app.
So this is a no fuss transcode-y thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really just drag and drop. You drag the media files that you want on your iOS device into the window, and it encodes them and uploads them to the iOS device. Boom, done.
Neat.
And it's surprisingly fast. And it's $15-ish.
Ish. If you want to pay more, you can. Is that the deal?
Well, it's not exactly $15. It's like $14.96 or something like that.
Oh, I see. $14.97.
Oh, I was off by a penny.
Yeah.
So I've been playing around with it, and it's been working flawlessly for me.
Neat.
It's pretty cool. You do have to have OS 10 10.9 or higher.
Okay. Maybe it's using some cool tech.
It probably is.
Okay. All right. It's Walter and it's $14.97. So, Adam, what is your pick?
I'm going with Vainglory. You know what that is?
That's that app, that game that they showed off at WWDC.
Yeah,
right?
WWDC to show off Metal. It is a what they call a MOBA. Multi-online battle arena game, which basically means what it is you've got, it feels a little bit like tower defense to me, but more with a full-on attack mode in it. So you have a team of like three people, and there's this thing called the lane. They call it the lane. And basically you're trying to get down the lane into the other person's sort of base and destroy. In this game, it's a crystal, but, you know, there's a target that you're trying to ultimately destroy. And within, like, the lane, there's defensive towers that you have to kind of get through. And then there's also, each team has what they call minions, which are just, like, little grunt guys that are controlled by the computer that come out, and you have to attack and get through them. And the point of this game is that, you know, it was what Apple used to kind of show off Metal and the things like the A8 processor could do in terms of graphics. And it looks awesome on my iPhone 6 Plus. Hard as heck to play, in my opinion. only because actually the tutorial, it's not that hard if you're playing the computer, but the ultimate point of this is to, you know, go online and play with other people. So you can get in there. And I think what I need to do is I need to find some people to play with so that we can kind of form our own little, like, team.
Oh, yeah.
And sort of meet up and, you know, take on other teams. But it does have an element where you can just, like, request, hey, I want to play online, and you're just kind of thrown into a team. The problem is I get a feeling like they take all the people who are just, like, randomly looking for other people to play with, and then they throw them in an arena with, like, a big badass team, you know, like these guys that are hardcore gamers. So every time I played, I just
poorly.
Get like whomped on. And it has this nice really element is it'll start like saying how awesome the other team is, right? I forget how it says it, but it's like the defensive team is awesome. The defensive team is amazing. They are on fire, whatever it says. And you're like,
and then they
like
say, and you are on fire, literally.
Yeah, exactly. And you suck. but I guess the one element that it has that's different than other sort of battle arena games is they kind of have this side area. It's like a jungle area that you can go into, and there's like mines that you try and capture. And if you can capture the mines, then your minions gain in power. And then there's like a gold mine in the middle. And if you capture that, you get gold more quickly to buy like upgrades and things like that. So as you're playing the game, you can also upgrade your players and give them performance enhancements and things like that. So I think there's a lot of strategy involved. I haven't quite figured it out yet. But, you know, I'm having fun playing the game. The games go pretty quick, so you don't have to spend a ton of time. But like all things like this that I try and get into, I never have enough time to get good enough at them. And sometimes I just end up getting frustrated because it's just like it's a sort of exercise in being pounded on for 15 minutes and then realizing you suck and then giving up for a week and then trying it again.
So that's
how I play.
So this app is free.
It is free. Yep.
Well, it's freemium, right? They have in-app purchases.
I think you can pay to get, you know, unlock other players and things like that. But I think you can also earn your way up through playing in the game. I haven't got that it has a pay to win sort of element to it. Okay. Maybe it does. I haven't probably gotten deep enough into it yet to know if that's true or not.
You know, the interesting thing, we didn't mention this, but Apple changed all the free buttons in the App Store to get buttons.
Yep.
And
because of the whole freemium thing.
Well, and I thought that...
It's just kind of stupid, I think, but whatever.
I think it's stupid, too.
Freemium apps?
No. I think using the word get.
I think that if they decided to label freemium apps with the get button, so anything that has an in-app purchase, label it with the get button, but everything else that does not have in-app purchases, things that are truly free, if they still said free, that would be... I think that would be a better distinction.
I think they should have gone with free for the truly free games.
Yes.
And then just free, not really.
Free, not really.
You could call it free plus.
Free plus. I love it.
Wouldn't it be free minus? I don't know.
Free plus extra expenses.
There you go.
Okay, and...
Anyway, so Vainglory, and it does. It looks gorgeous. It's really nicely done. It looks great on the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus, I assume. I don't know how it performs on other devices because I only tried it on my iPhone 6. I might test it out on my iPad Air, but I think it'll run okay.
Cool. And my pick this week is Things for iOS because it's free.
Yeah.
It's usually, I think, $10 a pop. Both for the iPhone and then the iPad app.
The desktop version's on sale too, I think.
It is on sale. I think it's like $35 right now. I think it's 30-something percent off. So that's on sale as well. So I would go and grab it immediately because I think it's just like the rest of the week. And we're recording on Friday, so I'll try to get this out ASAP.
Hop to it, people.
Yeah, and... I mean, for what it's worth, I'm an OmniFocus person. Things is great. For those of you who aren't OmniFocus people, because you have to have that brain, everybody else, I think, you're either a Things or an OmniFocus person. I'll say that. And Things is very well done.
Yes. So
they're both GTD-oriented.
I feel it's not quite as rigid as OmniFocus, which is a good thing for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I had a hard time with OmniFocus. I'm back to trying to use OmniFocus because I think I need the discipline. And I'm trying to force myself to get into that discipline. But, you know, when I tried this before and fell back to Things was the thing that I went to, and I really liked it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So check it out. It's free for iPhone and iPad. They are separate apps. Of course, you can find all of our picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com. You can review the show in iTunes and tell a friend. That's always great. You can send feedback to feedback@theiosshow.com. Of course, advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Check out our sponsor this month, which is Text Expander 3 for the iPhone and iPad with the custom keyboard, Text Expander keyboard, which is super cool. And send a tweet to them. At Text Expander, letting them know that you are happy that they support the iOS show. And Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, at Jay Gamet on Twitter, TMO Daily Observations. And go for it.
I was going to say, and tell everyone go check out Fresh Brewed Tales.
Yeah, check out Fresh Brewed Tales. Is it .com?
.com.
Boom.
Some new juicy tidbits going on.
Not yet. Well, I have a couple that are partway done. I've just been so busy that I haven't been able to finish them. So there will be new stuff up there soon.
New updates soon.
So busy observing insanity at Starbucks?
Yes, and wailing and gnashing my teeth over a dead hard drive.
Yeah.
Good times.
Show me the money. Yeah, I'll have to look at this after I wrap up the show. Otherwise, I'll be too distracted. Adam Christensen is at the MattCast, MattCast.com, at MattCast on Twitter. Member.MattCast.com is the member version of the show.
Sir. And, thank you.
Yep. And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. Check out Appler, GETAPPLR.com. Get Appler. And that's it. We'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An internet. How are we going to communicate this?
A stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right?